Courtney Cowing, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
Race fans from now suddenly rainy upstate New York, which I guess was expected, but literally 3 seconds ago, all of a sudden I heard the sound of the pitter-patter outside my office. Got like a metal roof on the side porch and looked up and we're getting rain. It's springtime, right? Well, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. On this Thursday, got a busy day, and a 3 hours that'll hit a lot of points on the compass, including early on after the first break. We're going to welcome back Andrew Hawkins, as I promised. And Andrew, when he was spending time in Hong Kong, he was our Hong Kong correspondent for HKJC, now Dick Powell. But Andrew back in Australia, and given the quality of the racing and the consistency and the reliability of it right now, it's hard not to take an interest in what's going on in Australia. And, of course, last weekend, those three stakes, including the Derby that Dick Powell gave you, the $17 winner. And it's sort of a companion card at Randwick tomorrow night. And Randwick is the A track tomorrow. And there's a series of six really good stakes. And so we'll get Andrew to give us a bit of a primer, and we'll dive in. And what's fun about looking up the PPs, and you get them free. You can get all the Australian ABCD PPs free at BrisNet. And like today, it's a quiet Friday card for us, you know, well, Friday morning. You know, they're a good 14, 15, 16 hours ahead, depending on the, you know, which state, which region of Australia is running. but today, kind of quiet with Ascot and Kalgoorlie, which I've never even heard of. I thought I knew most of the the tracks in Australia. This one, a new one on me. And actually, there's a couple on Sunday that are I've never seen before either. But the big ones, Caulfield and Randwick, well, of course, in Flemington and in Melbourne, but Ascot as well. Tomorrow, Randwick is the A. Doomben is the B. Newcastle and Ascot. And then kind of a Sunday, it's kind of a BC track, I think, based on some ovals I've never heard of. Maruya, Townsville, Mudgee, and Staywell. And of course, that's about the best named racetrack in the world right now, Staywell. Then there's also some other places that are listed. Gawler, Lakeside, Mornington, and Panola. We'll get chapter and verse from Andrew Hawkins, who is very, very sharp. And in fact, Andrew's been handing out big prices on the international stage with regularity, including last week. We mentioned that Doncaster Mile, where the dry cleaner Nettoyer at a huge price, and it was one of Andrew's suggestions. So, Andrew NJ Hawkins, if you follow him on Twitter, looking forward to catching up with Andrew. He's had actually a hectic week. His mother, not a COVID situation, but his mother had a hospitalization and surgery. So that was one of the reasons we didn't get to him yesterday, but she's okay. So looking forward to catching back up with Andrew. And I guess we'll call it International Thursday because Dick Powell will follow with the action from Hong Kong. So the international stage will be set. We'll check in with Tony Black, see what Tony thought about the DQ. And got to say thank you again to Chris Katulak. And I'm really pleased with the way people responded to Chris's visit and how much they appreciated his straightforward explanation and the transparency he tried to offer horse players regarding the DQ on Wednesday or on Tuesday. And I thought Chris was just terrific. And so I sense that a lot of people responded in the same way. But we'll see what Tony's thoughts were. You also got the perspective yesterday, of course, of John White, a steward professional. Official as well. Steve Haskin and Haskin considering, you know, that the racing is limited, and, you know, typically Steve's focus is the 3-year-olds. He's been pulled in a dozen directions. He's finding all kinds of interesting things to write about, and some of it actually motivated by things happening, right here on the show this week, including the Mr. Frisky topic that came up. Steve was tickled by that, and he was part of that group that it was very instrumental, actually, in Eddie Fontaine and everybody at Metro Turf being aware of Mr. Frisky coming up from Puerto Rico. So Steve's going to write a column because it's the it's a big anniversary. It's the 30th anniversary of it, and so that motivated him. Look forward to catching up with Steve and see what else is keeping him occupied. We'll certainly talk about this Oaklawn Stake, which came up. Terrific. There's no guarantee the Arkansas Derby is going to be better. So we'll talk about that in a second. But Alan Foreman is going to join us as well. Late yesterday while we were on the air and a little too tied up on what was really, I don't know about you, but I was a little... I was a little emotionally wrung out by the end of yesterday, by the end of the show. And people, the John Prine fans, they really appreciated the cuts. We got 6 of them in. And I think we might have created some new John Prine fans. There seems like there's 2 layers out there. Those that have been listening forever and will miss John terribly. Luckily, a mammoth catalog of music, and then people who were unaware and who just, you know, it was outside of their range of, you know, of musical, not appreciation, but just of the things that they've heard. And if you are a, you know, if you like John Prine, there's so many from that same ilk. J.J. Cale. I'll give you one there. One of my absolute favorites. In fact, with KC on the board, I may work in a J.J. Cale cut today. How about that? I've got at least two CDs, and I think I've even got one of them on my iPad. But there's a John Prine style that you also may not be familiar with, J.J. Cale. Alan Foreman's going to join us, and I don't know how I went off in that direction, but, because Alan and the THA announcing late yesterday while we were on the air that the match series will be tabled, will be canceled for 2020, because there's just too much interruption in the schedule of the Mid-Atlantic tracks that are involved. So Alan will detail what else they might do. And in addition, last week via teleconference, there was the annual spring Mid-Atlantic Association, the teleconference, the one I went to last year at Delaware Park, and they had a very productive meeting. So we'll get a view of things from Alan as well this morning, and Rich Eng. So there you go. Couple of news and notes from yesterday, and particularly the results at Tampa. And, you know, this was an interesting sequence. It ended up being, you know, very, very formful. However, it paid twice the parlay. So, it was worth playing from that standpoint. And I imagine that even some of you that played with a limited budget, that just kind of, you know, just played to have some action, you may have gotten through this sequence. And Noble Intentions, who, you know, was very much the horse to beat in that first leg, comes through as the favorite. And as it happens, Ken Sweezy's filly ran very well, Finest Jewel. She was on the lead and then was confronted by Noble Intentions, Mike Lehrman's Noble Mission filly, and Noble Intention ends up prevailing under Daniel Centeno, pays $660. The second leg was the one that Nick yesterday suggested you might single if you were looking for a single, and Gone as a Girl Can Get comes through. And here's Centeno again, this time for Sean Morrow and owner William McCarty. And this first dude filly had to hold off Langi Lee and just was able to do it. Leslie Mowing was bearing down. But Gone as a Girl Can Get, able to win at 70 cents on the dollar and pays 340. So, you know, so far you're two for two. The third leg, Barrel of Destiny, and certainly a horse well known to New Yorkers, and at for 16, and Tony Granitz handling Barrel of Destiny for Tri-County, who of course has got this mare, the wonderful Barrel of Joy, the Disco Rico mare. She's been very productive, and here was an $8. That was a nice price, $8, and went as favorite. However, there were five horses in that spot. In that third leg, there were five horses between 3-1 and essentially 9-2, five of them. And Barrel of Destiny just goes off favored. And Gallardo manages to hold off Mena and Monkey Mind. You know, and Monkey Mind was one of the other, was a co-second choice. So, you know, right now you're doing fine. You're 3 for 3. Double Deep and Amelia's Wild Ride, who were separated by 20 cents. And Double Deep ended up going off favored. Went off just a tick under 3-2. Pays 480. And Amelia's Wild Ride would have been a tick over 3-2, went off at $1.60, and ran fine. But Double Deep, Ben Feliciano, and MCR Stable, the Ghost Zapper 5-year-old gelding. Nice effort by Amelia's Wild Ride for Jane Sabelli and Broad Street Racing. The Great Ludini did come running third. If you latched on, you know, knew that, you know, the was going to need pace, and got within, I don't know, three lengths at 10-1. So if you use Great Ludini, who we mentioned as a, you know, kind of a late runner, but so far, you know, here you are, you're more or less, you know, I gotta think most people have those four races on their ticket. We then get to the nightcap, and it comes down late to Clear as Day and Windfall Profit, and I imagine Willie Martinez might want to have this one back, but Angel Suarez for Mike Stidham and Pin Oak, one of their homebreds, a Sky Mesa filly, breaks her maiden, the 4-year-old out of the King Mambo mare, much obliged, and Shug and Stu Janney will wait for another opportunity. You know, they called it a nose, but it was pretty clear. It was clear as day. at 7-2, pays $880. I got a big, I did not bet the pick five, but I made one bet, I bet on one horse, I should say. That Texas promo girl that I talked about, who ended up at 33-1. And all, I tell you, you want to talk about a thrill. I thought when they turned for home, and a nice job by Harry Hernandez, he was trying to hold her together. And she just gets overhauled. I only needed her to finish third for something. If she manages, I did a reverse tri-key, and I bet her win place. But all I needed her to do was hold third, and she couldn't do it. She ended up being necked and headed by Twirling Star and Heavenly Peace. And I wasn't unhappy. I was not unhappy with the effort that Texas Promo Girl turned in on the front end for Ken Wesley. Nice try at 30, almost 33-1. So there it is. And there's your pick five, and it pays $268. And I did a quick yesterday, some of the guys on Derby Trail hit. Nick hit it. Nick hit it for $2 and he laid this all out for you. And he had it, so he had it four times, the 50 center, and would have paid significantly more if Windfall Profit wins in there. If Shug wins in there, the thing paid, I think, an extra $220 for every 50 cents. So that was probably a little bit of a tough beat on that front. But listen, still better to cash. But my quick calculation said that this thing paid twice the parlay with a favorite, an odds-on favorite, a 3-1 favorite, where the public was having trouble, separating horses, but Barrel of Destiny had to be on your ticket. Then a 3-2 favorite and a 7-2 favorite. It was worth playing. So I hope a lot of you hit. You must have. Let's see. What did they bet in, actually? I didn't look at that. What did they bet in? It's calling the pool. Holy Jesus. The pool was $1.7 million. And there was what? An $80,000 carryover. $81,000 carryover. Wow. 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 That's why it paid twice the parlay. See, and that's why these pick five carryovers have been so popular. Because, especially the 50-cent increment, I mean, the jackpot's a separate topic, but the 50-cent increment, it invites coverage of horses that are extraneous. So then when it chalks out like this, there's so many horses that have been covered, the multiples are just they're just too many multiples, too much dead money on horses that, people were hoping would get involved. So everybody got paid, I am going to guess. Good work. And thanks to Nick for a great job. So that was Tampa yesterday. Mentioned Oaklawn, and obviously we'll talk plenty about it. It's a terrific card. Absolutely terrific. The one thing that I hope we get is decent weather, because the last weekend it rained, Friday, Saturday. Not pleasant. Let's see what we can discover on this front very quickly. Suburban Heights, Hot Springs National Park is my listing. Right now it's sunny. Oh my God, 80% chance of rain. You gotta be kidding me. Hi, yay. Nice today, gorgeous tomorrow, and then 80% chance of rain Saturday, 80% chance on Sunday. Just ridiculous. Thunderstorm Saturday night. Good God. Can't get a break. Well, so keep the wet track in mind. The sequence, this Oaklawn Stakes. Holy cow. Top to bottom. Basin, Asmussen, Giroux. Coach by Phil Bauer. Mr. Big News, Calhoun. 1,000 words, Spafford. Sir Rick Diodoro, shoplifted. Asmussen, Santana. Flapjack, who I, the Sisterson that I was not disappointed with, comes back, second off the layoff. I like that Jack did this with Adam Bacisa. That Tayshan that people are excited about, Baltus. Digital from Calhoun. Cox has got something natural in here with Fernando De La Cruz. Background, Mike Puich comes to town. Joe Rocco, Farmington Road. Fletcher said he was sending somebody, and it's the Eclipse, Chrysalis LaPenta with Martin Garcia. And then Gold Street drew wide from Mike McCarty, Steve Asmussen, and Tyler Bays. And the other stake, the Oaklawn Mile's terrific with a field of 14. Let's take a break. We'll start out with international coverage. Andrew Hawkins next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years old and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and present in the state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gaming Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. KC running into the usual international dialing hiccups, so it might take a second or two to get Andrew, but we will. Meanwhile, I'll mention, reference that other stake at Oaklawn on Saturday, in addition to the three-year-old action, and going to be very interesting. Looking forward to discussing it. But the mile, which starts the late pick four, 14 horses, Improbable comes back and ends up in the 14 hole. No bargain, but Slick Silver and Mr. Money, Tom's De Tot draws the three, Pioneer Spirit, Boldore, MG Warrior, Snapper Sinclair, Bank It, Home Run Trick, Long Range Toddy, Lord Guinness, Kershaw for Tim Yakteen, and actually Phil D'Amato, excuse me, Lord Guinness's Yakteen, Fight On, Doug O'Neill. You know, half the fields are West Coast trainers, and Improbable. So field of 14 for that mile. There's also some maiden specials in here on Saturday at Oaklawn, and it closes out with a good allowance, which features any number of, you know, familiar older horses, including Colonel's Dark Temper, Jinx Fires in there, Jungle Warfare, Limonite for Asmussen and Ron Winchell and others. 12-horse field to close out the sequence. And the pick five starts with an allowance, a mile allowance, which is a nice 12-horse field. And just a very major Saturday card at Oaklawn. Well, Kay's going to keep trying here on to get Andrew. All right, so be it. And, you know, it is a good opportunity because Randwick is right in the middle of their, I guess spring, I guess for there it's fall, but, you know, they're right in the middle of their stakes season. You know, typically, the last weekend in March or the first weekend in April will be their, you know, their two sets of stakes. And the Derby was last week. The Oaks is this week. Last week, the three stakes, the Smith, the Derby, and the Doncaster Mile. This week, the Oaks and five, I think by my count, five other big money stakes. And, okay, so you do have the, well, it is, you know, it is, to be fair, it is right now, it's got to be about 1:30 a.m. I'm not sure if he's in Perth or if he's in Sydney. But anyway, I did the calculation yesterday, and I think it's 1:30 in the morning over there. But he says he stays up till typically till 2. Tomorrow your action, for those of you on the East Coast, the first of the stakes you've got from races 3 to 10 tomorrow night in Randwick. You've got all stakes action. And so on the West Coast, 7:45 Pacific is the third race. Polytrack Provisional Championships, $250,000, and starts at 10:45 Eastern. And then after that, the Percy Sykes Stakes, 307 thousand Australian dollars as the fourth. That's an 8:20 Pacific, 11:20 Eastern. So, you know, like I said last week, remember when we would play Hollywood, the great Hollywood Friday night cards? That's what this is. Think of it that way. Then comes the Aerofield Sprint, $300,000 Group 2, 8:55 Pacific, 11:55 Eastern. There's a few horses you've heard of in the Aerofield. The Australian Oaks, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 a.m. now, Friday night into Saturday morning. The Australian Oaks, and this a field of 14. I mean, you got big, bulky, full fields. And then the Schweppes Sydney Cup, $600,000, grade one, group one, 10:15 Pacific, 1:15 Eastern. And this a very nice group. You're looking at a 13-horse field for that, and it closes out with the $1.2 million Queen Elizabeth Stakes. You know it's important because it's sponsored by Longines. And 10:55 Pacific, 1:55 Eastern time. And then there's, to let people leave, there's even a stake after the Queen Elizabeth. There's actually two. There's the Coolmore Legacy, 11:35 Pacific, 2:35 Eastern. And amazingly, Natoye is going to come back and run on 7 days rest. I mean, she's unbelievable after the huge win last week. And then the Sapphire Stakes as well as the 10th. 12:10 a.m. Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern. So you night owls on the East Coast, you can hang in there from 10:45 when the stakes start at Randwick. PP is available free at Brisnet. And maybe we'll get Ed and maybe Ed and James will tie on for Randwick or Kelly Riley, certainly. She's a candidate for it. And we'll see if Dick's got any ideas. I mean, he certainly delivered the nice winner. He delivered the nice winner in the Derby on Friday last week, Thursday. Quick thinker. So, all right. Now you're struggling, Case, huh? But Casey did say he got his voicemail. And we know we've got the number right. Still voicemail. All right, I'll see if I can't raise him. You know, we can do though. We can shift. Let's shift over to Hong Kong and get Dick Powell in instead. All right, yeah, go to Dick, and I'll see if we can't I don't want to say wake up. I'd feel terrible. I don't want to wake him up. But let me send this note to Andrew while Casey raises Dick Powell. And all right, there we go. Okay. Well, Andrew's responding, so he's clearly awake. Let's see what he says while we raise Dick. And you know, this will work out. You could have. In fact, that'd be perfect, Kay. Once you get Dick, I'll see what Andrew's situation is. All right. Okay, Casey. Here's the deal. Andrew thought he said he's been getting a ton of spam, international spam calls, and he said, "Oh, it's you." Sorry, I've been getting spam all night. So he blocked it. That's why. So he's going to unblock the number. And, okay. I'm going to tell him, give us 10 minutes or so. That's pretty funny. Listen, I know the feeling. Suddenly, you know, on my phone, in fact, calls are coming in saying potential spam. right? Is you getting that same kind of thing? Dick Powell joins us. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. I have a whole plate here of home fries and scrambled eggs.
Look at you.
Well, I was making breakfast when you was thinking you're going to get Andrew on.
So. Well, I don't want to ruin. I'm going to ruin your breakfast here.
No, you're not. No.
You make your own home fries? You cut up your own potatoes and
these I did, and usually I do. What I do is I boil up a bunch of potatoes, mash about half of them for dinner, and then put the rest away, and then use them for home fries the next day.
But interesting.
These are just the frozen out of the bag ones.
Well, so you like a chunk? You like the chunky home fry style?
Well, I have both. I have the really small ones. They're like more of a diced.
That's a dice.
And then I have another brand that's maybe a half inch by half inch, a little bit bigger.
See, I like shreds. I'm a shredded hash brown type.
Well, now that they have these glass top stoves, you can't put a skillet on them. They just don't work. You know, you're going to ruin the stove. So a good steel skillet, you would put stuff in, and you would just burn the living daylights out of it, like scrape it out of the pan.
Yep.
So can't do that anymore. But
well, and speaking of which, I told everybody. I don't know if I talked about it on the radio, but I did talk about it on Twitter. Tina and I last week saw that really disturbing Dark Waters. That essentially tracks the lawsuit in West Virginia against DuPont regarding Teflon, and you know, and I remember the headlines and the storylines, but I did not know the details, and it is horrifying. Mark Ruffalo plays the attorney who has spent literally his whole career on this, and the PFOAs, you know,
out in Hoosick Falls.
Exactly. And, you know, Tina grew up there, and so she's intimately familiar. In fact, there's a scene at a town meeting in Hoosick Falls in Dark Waters, and the famous father and son doctors that essentially identified the issue in Hoosick, that she very friendly with, was her pediatrician as a child. And this was so disturbing. Then we turned around and watched the documentary, The Devil You Know, which is so damning against 3M and DuPont that it will horrify you. What they've done to the public, not just North America, I mean, worldwide. And they say 99% of people worldwide have these PFOAs in their bloodstream. It is unbelievable. So I got rid of. I bought a new set of Danish cookware called ScanPan that has the newest technology and is PFOA free, and started cooking with it yesterday. For Passover. I hope everybody had a good first Seder, such as they were. Matzah ball Barbie went through five. It's a personal best for Tina. Anyway, this is a roundabout way of saying that this cookware, I should be able to do some dynamite hash browns with this skillet.
Yeah, you want when you make anything like that, you want to scrape it out of the skillet.
You want to char on it, no doubt. No doubt.
So, but I didn't do that this morning.
No more Teflon, guys. Get everybody. And I there's a few people who responded, including our friend Ralph Conti, Ralph's wife. Same thing. She went into the kitchen, threw out everything she had that had a PFOA coating on it, and was alarmed. Unbelievable. All right.
What was interesting with the Hoosick Falls issue was the politics. Completely opposite of what you might believe. That the leader, the guy who exposed it and fought, is the current Rensselaer County executive. And Steve is not the most popular person. He's very outspoken to the point of, you know, name calling, whatever. And he got in there and he fought, and he could not get our state government to do a thing. I mean, nothing. And Steve McLaughlin was the leader of that fight. Awesome job.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to remember if Tina was close by. They're doing a thing with the kids today. But I'm trying to remember the name of the doctor who first was able to, you know, sort of tie. He started to see, you know, these unusual cancers and began to realize that something was amiss, and that you know, that the water, that there was something in the groundwater that you know, was making people in Hoosick sick. And I mean, Tina's one of Tina's girlfriends. We went to her wedding. Brain cancer. I mean, just and suffered. I'll tell you, it's just unbelievable. Very, very, well,
my,
very tough.
My water, if I go up to the barn and open the hydrant and light a match, the match goes up about a foot.
Well, that's fracking, right? That's methane in the fracking.
Exactly. I'm sitting on a gold mine here, and they won't let me. I have methane gas like you can't believe in my ground.
How about that? Well, they've stopped, right? We've stopped in New York, correct?
Well, we never allowed it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But it's like we have an entire water treatment system in our basement. If you ever walk down there, you'd be like, what the heck? It looks like a Rube Goldberg type thing. Because we always had methane in the water, and God knows what else, so it all has to be filtered again and stuff like that. So, and that's just natural stuff. That's not necessarily pollution. That's just the way it is. But yeah, we got methane, but not doing me any good. I could be the methane king.
I love it. Well, we're going to talk Australia in a little bit with Andrew, but you helped everybody that was listening last Thursday, Dick, and that push was very nice in the Derby, and 17:40 on Quick Thinker.
Well, that was a pedigree push, and I love So You Think. I think he's, you know, he came off the track. He was purchased for an enormous sum of money. And he's not, it's weird because Australia is so speed oriented. And to have a 10 furlong galloper just isn't what sells down there. So he stands for $38,000. He had $1 million yearling yesterday in English on Monday. And, but he hasn't gotten the support he should have. So there was some question about him getting the mile and a half, and I wasn't worried about it. And I think that did Opie ride him? Opie Busson from New Zealand.
Yes,
pretty sure he. And he, you know, he moved early, which is dangerous on wet ground going a mile and a half. But he gutted it out, and just he was fantastic, just fantastic. So I was very happy about that one.
17:40, 780, and 510, and it you ended up actually with some other prices that filled out. You had a $156 exacta for $2, a 20-cent try paid $161, and the super 20-cent super paid $941. So some big numbers, and then of course later, you know, you had Nature Strip beat Santa Ana Lane in the sprint in the Smith. I can't seem to get Santa Ana Lane over the top, but then Netoyer.
He was right there.
Oh no, it was a good effort.
Much.
No, not at all. But then the performance of Netoyer, and Andrew Hawkins gave out Netoyer to everybody. and not as just as a long shot play, but as a win, as a win choice, pays $112.70. Unbelievable. And is back, and she's back. She's coming back tomorrow night. Running again, Natoye. So that was the first of the two big weekends at Randwick, and we'll let Andrew deal with that unless you've got any ideas about the sequence. But let's get to Hong Kong in first.
Okay. Last Sunday, Beauty Generation won the Chairman's Trophy. He looked like the old Beauty Generation. He was ridden cold. They turned for home. Zach hadn't moved the muscle. The race went according to form with Kaiying Star and Waikaku stalking on the inside. So Zach took the lead about a furlong out, was the strongest to the wire. Times were kind of slow that night, 133.49. I mean, he's running faster, but just a very dominant performance. Now, when he comes back in 3 weeks for the big international races, those are handicapped races, so he's going to have to give Waikuku, I think it's 8 pounds. So that was weight for age. The next round of big races are handicapped races. But Beauty Generation looked like he's back on his game. The Sprint Cup, where I was all interested in Ethero, three-year-old, who broke horribly, rushed up into traffic, was rank as could be. Just he could not have run a worse race. Meanwhile, Voyage Warrior, guns to the front, and that's it. He never stops. So he pulls the upset. And the amazing thing is, and maybe Sid Fernando can answer this question, is there anything that Declaration of War cannot do? I mean, he's winning Group 2 six-furlong sprints. He's winning the Melbourne Cup. He's winning races all over the world at various distances and various surfaces. I mean, I know horses have gotten off the hot starts at stud, but I can't remember a horse getting off to his start with the variety of distances and everything that he's done. It's just remarkable. And I remember him because I needed him to hold on for second in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Wayne's horse comes along and nails me at the wire for second with We'll Take Charge behind Mucho Macho Man.
Right.
So Declaration of War almost won the Classic. He beat a quarter of a length on dirt. And he's a war front. So, you know, the war front seems to be able to do anything. But getting a Melbourne Cup winner and group sprints and everything else, it's just amazing. So Voyage Warrior was great. Ethero, you have to throw the race out. Hopefully he didn't come out of it any worse for the wear. He is entered back for the sprint race coming up in 3 weeks. So those are the two big stakes from last weekend. Yesterday we had Happy Valley. We had the normal 8 races at Happy Valley. We had the normal 2 favorites winning for the normal 25% win percentage. One thing last night that was noticeable, Happy Valley has a starting gate that holds 12 horses. Every race had 12 horses. Many of them had extras. So even if there was going to be a scratch, they were going to have 12 horses. So you ran eight races. You had 96 starters. That's par for the course for Happy Valley. So nice competitive racing there. The only person who got a double was Chad Schofield. He had 2 winners. We go to Sha Tin for an 11 race card Sunday. Post time will be 12:30 Eastern time. The horses I like are late in the card. So race 9, 1,000-meter sprint. Now, this is down the straightaway. Last night we saw 2,000-meter sprints at Happy Valley, but they go around a turn. This is down the straightaway. I like number 12, Kirpani. John Moore, big rider switch here to Zach Purton, second-time starter. Didn't get away well in its career debut, going 6 furlongs in fast time. Now shortens back to 5. I think with the race under its belt and the straightaway, I think he can work out a trip. So that's race number 9. Number 12, Race 10, I like number 2, Beauty Smile. It's no surprise, horse has big Irish form. Group placed, going 1,800 meters. Now it's going to go 1,400 meters today. Obviously off a layoff, hadn't raced in Ireland since October 26th, but comes in here for Tony Cruz and Zach Purton. Tony obviously knows how to get them ready off the layoff, and he's well spotted here. He's weighted at 80, so he's in class 3. He's at the top of class 3, and it's a 3-year-old, so he's obviously highly regarded. So race 10, we're going to go probably with the favorite, number 2, Beauty Smile. And race 11, I like number 3, Decrypt. This is a 4-year-old. Now, many of these 4-year-olds that are in this race had been in against Colden 60, so that's kind of the measuring stick. Decrypt has a big race, 2 back, going 7 furlongs, which is Saturday, Sunday's distance. Then he went in that 2,000-meter race that with Colden 60 and Playa del Puente with the big ride by Blake Shinn. So that was way beyond his scope. Now he turns back to 1,400 meters. He's a son of Dark Angel. He's a top sprinting sire. He gets Zach Purton and Frankie Laws, the trainer. So number 3, Decrypt, in what is pretty much the feature race in race number 11. So race 11, number 3, Decrypt. So those are 3 picks for Sunday morning, 12:30 Eastern time, post time, 9:30 post time, Pacific time for the first race.
Excellent.
And also, they kicked Grant Van Kirk out of Hong Kong. They took his license away. He's gone. Had nothing to do with racing or anything. One of the stories indicated a domestic dispute.
Oh.
So he'd been riding. He was a top 5 rider. And not anymore.
How about that? Well, hey, you got to be on your best behavior.
When you have a limited amount of licenses, they're really valuable, and it's really competitive to get one. So it's not the place where you want to, have issues and stuff.
Exactly.
Because they can... That they know, they know the. Obviously, everything's done with a tight eye on everything that's going on track. And this was apparently an off track episode, and that's it for them.
Well, not a good time of internationally either to be, to get tossed out of a jurisdiction.
No, absolutely not. I know Andrew will talk about it. Australia has just done a phenomenal job maintaining their racing programs, not just at the big metropolitan tracks, but
everywhere.
Yeah, they've done a sensational job, and in America, some of the races start at 9:30, 10 o'clock Eastern time. So there's with no harness racing on at night. The Australian racing is coming in, and it's fantastic to watch and follow. It's very, very wet, though. That's one of the issues for Randwick Friday night, Saturday morning, is how wet the track will be.
They canceled. I know last week one of the ABCDs, I may still have it in my notes, I might not, that ended up canceling.
Suncoast ran 2 races, and then they had...
And then abandoned, yeah.
Because I had it on, and I watched the first race, and then the second, like, what is going on? Is that fog? What? It's pouring rain. And they already had a ton. They already were listed as a heavy 8. Which is like getting to the bottom of the ground. And then they had more rain, so they abandoned. And it's been pretty wet most of the country. So we'll see what Randwick was. Last week, I think Randwick was a 7 or an 8. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's an 8 again, which is soft. And, I mean, they call wet track specialist over there mutters, because they really are running in mud.
Yeah, with a loose surface. Well, we're gonna have Andrew Hawkins join us. Dick, I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Look forward to listening to him.
Well, and you can enjoy your breakfast, warm it up in the microwave, and tune in. Dick Powell, everybody, HKJC, all right. Hong Kong Jockey Club, and of course, before Dick, Andrew Hawkins. For two seasons, at least two seasons, maybe even a third, provided the Hong Kong Jockey Club analysis. Then he left Hong Kong, back in Australia now, and he's still providing a lot of winners, including last weekend, last Friday night. If you were paying attention and you follow Andrew, who you should, on Twitter, Andrew NJ Hawkins. Andrew hands out Natoye, who paid $112, winning the Doncaster Mile. She's back again this weekend. There's probably a significant delay on the phone, so bear with us on that. But Andrew Hawkins, welcome back.
Right, Dr. Dave, it's been a while, but yeah, very glad to be on the show. It's been plenty of winners to be found, both back then, still now today.
Andrew, I'm sure you're following, the situation. You keep tabs on racing internationally, and with our limited menu of options here, people are looking at Hong Kong. They're looking to Australia. And with these big two weekends, the championship season at Randwick, a perfect time to reconnect with you. Give everybody, take a couple of minutes and give everybody an overview of the circuit, New South Wales and South Australia, Queensland, etc. The way the racetrack season is laid out, and how the ABCD groups, how the four tracks run a day. Give everybody just sort of the primer on Australian racing.
Okay, well, that's a very, very broad question, Steve, and there's a lot that goes into that. But the best way to start is that, as you say, you're dealing with Randwick at the moment this weekend. Now, this is the championships this weekend. The championships is the culmination of the Sydney Autumn, where obviously Autumn Carnival, when in the fall down here, the season's been reversed. So it's very much the combination of the Sydney Carnival, Sydney races year round. Actually, to be fair, most places in Australia do race year round, but Sydney definitely comes to the fore in the autumn. Well, they've also been coming to the fore in the spring as well. But the way it's best to look at Australian racing is that each of the tracks or each of the states is very much similar to a state. In the US, or if you look at racing in Europe, for instance, all the different jurisdictions in the UK, Ireland, France, they each operate as an individual unit. There are some overriding rules that govern Australian racing, but generally they operate separately in terms of the states. So, again, similar to what it is in the US, but obviously dealing with a less number of states. New South Wales and Victoria are the two really main powerhouse states in Australia. New South Wales being where Sydney is, Victoria being where Melbourne is. Then you get to sort of a second tier, which is Queensland, South Australia. You do sometimes get Western Australia having some features, and you also get Tasmania having some features. Tasmania at the moment not racing. They've been cancelled at the moment due to them trying to shut down the spread of coronavirus. But at the moment, the rest of Australia is still continuing on. And the way it happens in the States, I'm not quite sure which meetings get chosen. I know that you have those four meetings to choose from. Usually there's actually more meetings than that going on in Australia, but they generally select the biggest four or the most probably the best wagering options to go over into the States. So Again, the states operate year-round. There are peaks and troughs for each of the different states. At the moment, New South Wales sort of coming to the end of its peak period until about August, September. At the moment, you see South Australia starting to have a few beaches over the next few weeks. Queensland would normally be the feature state coming up in May and June, but at the moment, due to coronavirus, they've actually regionalised the state. Because of that, they've all their black type races. So it's a very fluid situation. Things are changing even within the regular bounds of racing down here, but that's the case all over the world, Steve.
100. There's over 120 race courses in Australia and Tasmania.
Yes, that's correct, and that's and what's even more amazing about that is that's just those that race with TAB meetings. So TAB means TAB in Australia is the totalizator. So TAB in Australia runs both the tote, but also the vision rights through Sky Racing, and so because of that, tote meetings or TAB meetings are 120 race courses. But outside of that, there are also what we call picnic racetracks, which are racetracks that belong to the country towns all over the place. Now, Australia only has 20 million people, but basically every country town has a racetrack of its own, and usually they race there once a year. And you'll get horses on that lesser circuit, a little bit like you might see with fairground circuits in the state, but it's even a rung below that. But it just shows how part of the fabric of Australian society.
Yeah, we have been looking mostly at the ABCD. That's the presentation that the North American tote for the most part has. But even this weekend, in addition, like to tomorrow evening for us and into the early morning hours, Randwick, Doomben, Newcastle, and Ascot. But there's also, some of those small regional places like Gawler and Lakeside, Mornington, Panola, Sunday, Maruya, Townsville, Mudgee, and Staywell. Those are the ABCD tracks on Sunday.
Sorry, I lost you there for the save, but I must say that I was very impressed with your pronunciation of a lot of those places.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what I was impressed with. That was you giving out Nettoyer in the Doncaster Mile, Andrew, last week. What did you like about her? She was outposted, and yet a big win at what, 55-1?
Yeah, big results, and that's the one that I'm very proud of. Look, she had a number of in her favour, especially for those that watch Australian racing quite a bit. The Doncaster Mile is over the Randwick 1600 metres, the Randwick Mile, and that's very well known for being a testing mile, especially given that it is a big field. It's actually only a one-turn mile, but it's still quite a testing race. They normally go quite fast. And so I knew that she'd be suited with the way the race would be run. She was coming off a good performance at Rose Hill 2 weeks prior to that. She'd run in the Randwick Stakes, and she'd finished behind Adayab, who runs in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes on the weekend, as well as Very Elegant, who we saw come out and win the Tancred Bun Open Length. And so the form was good. She'd been back in the field in that 2000 race, and she'd made up good ground, but it was very much an on-pace favoured day. The fact that she was able to get as close as she did, I thought, was a good performance. Coming back to 1600 metres is going to suit. She'd won 3 from 7 at the track before, including really impressively first up at the Randwick 1600 metres. And she was getting down in the weights, going from weight for age to a handicap. Most of Australia's big races, especially those big fields, their handicaps, which means that looking at the weights and looking at the relative spread and where each horse is weighted compared to their opposition is so crucial. And so for me, when I was looking at the race, I saw two horses that really stood out to me based on the way that they were weighted. She was one. The other was Conte Parts Hero, who used to be trained by Wesley Ward.
Sure.
And she ran well. She was the last start group or grade one winner in the Cornwall Classic hit down here, which is a fillies and mares handicap over the 1,500 metres at Rose Hill. And she was up on quite a fast speed, and the fact that she managed to stay on, she finished sixth beaten about two lengths, and that was a really good effort. So for me, I was really happy to have got those two. I knew that they were going to be opposite ends of the field, and thankfully Natoya was able to come from last and pass everyone at her 19 rivals.
Pays 112, 70, 44, 60, and 30, 50. And actually, the tote, Star of the Seas, who finished second, was also enormous. You had a $2,300 exacta here in last week's Doncaster Mile in the Smith. Santa Ana Lane, who was my horse in the Everest this year as part of a charity contest. Santa Ana Lane second to Nature Strip for Chris Waller, in the Smith. And we've already talked about the Derby with Quick Thinker. And Dick Powell gave everybody Quick Thinker in the Derby, Andrew.
Sorry, say it again, Steve. I just lost you there for a little bit.
I was just mentioning last week's three, the way the three stakes turned out last week. Let's turn our attention to tomorrow night, Andrew, and this tremendous card that's highlighted by two group ones, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, $1.2 million Australian dollars, and let's start there.
It's a great card coming up at Randwick. As you say, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, it's a real highlight. And the thing with the Stakes is it's, you're getting a real international field, which is something that's actually quite rare at the moment, given travel restrictions between countries. So we've got a Japanese raider in Danon Premium who beat Alicia last year. Liz Gracia still come down to Australia, won the Cox Plate. And we also saw Liz Gracia run in... back in Japan, she won the Arena Kinnan very impressively, beating a field that included the likes of Armandice. So we get to see her step out. Adayab, who had that form around Magical in Europe, a really strong tracker. We also saw him finish quite close up to Elikam and also to Magic Wand, who just familiar with at Royal Ascot last year. So he steps out here. He won a Group 1 down here in Australia at his last start. And then you get the locals. You're very elegant, who we get to see coming back out a big Tancred win. And then we get to see the two Kiwis in the same colours. The Tiaka, I'll just see Tiaka Shark, who, if you haven't watched Australian racing, Tiaka Shark is this big monster. He's a chestnut, and he's one of the most popular horses going around. Melody Bell, she's just an incredibly consistent mare. It's a great little race for Queen Elizabeth. The best part about it is it's one of only four, it's just one of four Group 1 races or Grade 1 races. We get to see the Oaks for the fillies, and it looks a really interesting clash between the likes of Probabile, Shout the Bar, and Colette. We get to see the Cornwall Legacy, where we get to see Natoya back up, but she's got to take on a filly by the name of Funstar, who's a really, really promising and a filly. And then you get to see I've said the Oaks, the Legacy, and the Sydney Cup as well. That's the other one, the 2 mile contest, which is always an interesting staying race because in Australia, there's not a lot of stayers around. You get horses that are getting up to 2 miles. They're not really suited. That's going to be interesting because William Haggart has a horse there called Young Rascal who does look very hard to beat. So it's going to be a great day's racing, and I think it's definitely worth tuning in. There's some great betting races as well. So all I'd suggest is look outside the market leaders because there is plenty of value to be found. You just need to just dig a little bit into it, and find an angle, find something different, and there's value to be found for sure.
Andrew, I do want you to give a couple of a couple of bankers that you like going into tomorrow, and we also want to give everybody direction, you know, to you on Twitter and you know where analysis where they can, you know, learn the most and get a good feel, Sky Sports, etc. We'll get to that in a second. I do want you to talk one thing as we look at Randwick, because Randwick's it's right-handed, right? We've got there's right-handed and left-handed ovals in Australia, which might be a little challenging for people and confusing.
Yeah, so the best way to look at it that way is that in New South Wales, which is obviously Sydney, where Randwick is based, yeah, they do race right-handed, you're right. It dates back historically. Basically, the way it is that Sydney, New South Wales and Queensland, they race right-handed, and then other states race left-handed. So Victoria races left-handed, South Australia races left-handed, Western Australia races left-handed, and the reason for that, it's a historic reason, I believe, that has to do with the fact that racing in Sydney was started up by British colonists back in the 1800s, whereas it was mainly the American influx of the gold rush in the mid 1850s, which is the reason that they were a different direction in Victoria. So with Sydney, whenever you're looking at a Sydney race, it'll be right-handed. But again, definitely if you look at Victoria, for instance, the Melbourne Cup, the Cox Plate, they race left-handed there.
Well, Randwick tomorrow, and as I told everybody earlier, the stakes action starts at 7:45 Pacific, California time. So if you're on the West Coast, it's just like Hollywood. It's Friday night at Hollywood for you at Randwick, and East Coast time starts at 10:45 and will go until 3:10 a.m. with that Sapphire Stakes that closes out this almost all stake card. 10 race card with eight stakes. Andrew, a couple of your best bets tomorrow.
Now, I have had correct races and numbers to give you, because I don't want to lead you astray. The Australian Oaks, so this is grade one here. Now, that's grade six. And the horse we're going to be having something on is number seven here, Toppy Tun. Now, Toppy Tun forces Werther.
Andrew, Andrew, you're breaking up pretty good on us here. But you're talking about the New Zealand bred Toffee Tongue, who is going to be the seven in terms of saddle cloth. Is going to leave from the post position two. You know, they do barrier draws, and so the post position does not correspond to the number, but Toffee Tongue, and you get Karen McAvoy aboard.
Hopefully you can get in there. Well, I'll try to get in a better position, but put it down to Australian logic, not being as good as the United States, that's for sure. Toffee Tongue is a sister to a horse that I've talked to you about before, a horse Werther. It was a really promising Hong Kong Galloper, was the horse of the year in Hong Kong a few years back. Toffee Tongue ran really well last year. We'll run with it being quite wet. She ran a really good second last week. I was still a triple suitor. She's going to be a bit of a price. So I think let's race 6-7 Toffee. Can cause a few sickly sweet sugar smiles.
That's a good one, and that's in the Oaks. The Oaks will go as the sixth. The Australian Oaks, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. And Andrew, with the phone giving us a little bit of a hiccup, I'll pull us up here and we'll tweet out links to you, Andrew N.J. Hawkins, on Twitter, and Andrew will have plenty of information for everybody. And you and I off air, Andrew, I'll direct, with your help, we'll direct people to, you know, some of the other resources to help them understand and play Australia, and we'll start to check in with you regularly.
Absolutely. And if you want to reach out, please do. Please feel free and look forward to hopefully getting into a better position to encourage next week with Steve.
Well, no, not at all. Don't worry about that. And we'll get Casey. He'll work on that. Maybe, you know, maybe we Skype with Andrew. Maybe that might be an alternative to patch him through rather than the phone. You just don't know. I mean, there are times when we would talk to Andrew on his Hong Kong phone, clear as a bell. You just can't tell. But it's a real pleasure to get Andrew back on the show. One of the really well-respected international opinions out there, and you'll do very well following Andrew and you know, his some of his ideas and his opinions, about as good as anybody in that hemisphere, honestly. We had a lot of fun with him when he was handling the Hong Kong stuff. And in fact, I'm going to forget what race it was from about 3 weeks ago. I know that he had, there was actually a race at Hong Kong. I was just, you know, I was watching. It was that, we got up at, I think, what was it? Was that the Hong Kong Derby, I think. The price in the Hong Kong Derby. And Andrew suggested that one as a, you know, as an alternative, at least as a exotics use. So he sniffs out prices. There you go. You get a little bit of a primer. Sorry about the connection, but Casey will figure out a better way to bring Andrew in to talk Australian and our international coverage with Dick Powell on Hong Kong and Andrew Hawkins on Australia. There you go. Let's take a break. Tony Black ahead, Steve Haskin, Alan Foreman, Rich Eng at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game.